listening to Pro Booth Talk, photo booth insight, tips, and banter recorded by boothers for boothers. Brought to you by ProBoothTalk.com.
Hey, Lap.
Hi. Hi, Jason.
Hey, you doing all right?
Yes.
I'm trying not to use my podcast voice this time. I didn't want the intimidation.
To throw me off like you did last time.
Coming in hot, yeah. So, criticism. We want to talk a bit about accepting criticism today, and I thought I'd start with a quote that prompted this topic. It's something I think everyone is familiar with, by Dakota Myers, who said, "Never accept criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from," which is at first glance is pretty solid. I've got my give and take with it, but mostly the thing that I wanted to kind of, I guess not point out, but the thing that my biggest takeaway from that in our industry specific is we have a lot of people asking for advice. So they are people that they would ask advice from, but when they receive the criticism, it is initially, or not initially, ultimately just rejected. No one is looking for any kind of constructive criticism. It seems like everyone just wants the positive reinforcement. And if they're met with any kind of pushback about your wires aren't taped down, they're often met with, well, you have to start somewhere, or you could have just scrolled on. You didn't have to leave a response. But again, these people are specifically, here's my setup. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
And then they get offended when there is any kind of negative feedback. And that was the basis for coming into this today.
I mean, I think it's a good topic. I think the whole point of the networks is, you know, for us to share knowledge, information, to grow. I see that a lot. I see a lot of people who post, you know, tell me what you think about this situation. Tell me what you think about my setup. And it's funny that, you know, people are asking for your feedback. And if you're not in line with where their mindset is, I mean, it's the criticism just isn't taken positively, and it's unfortunate.
It is. But there is, I guess, on the flip side, there is constructive criticism and negative criticism, and there are people out there that are just aiming to insult and belittle people and just basically hurt their feelings. So I mean, it's not always the receiver's fault for not taking the criticism. Sometimes that it isn't meant to be received. It's meant to be an insult. So I guess there's both sides of the coin. There, the difference between constructive criticism, which, you know, obviously is meant to encourage you or build you up and give you areas that you can improve on, and negative criticism that is just meant to hurt your feelings and be rude. You know, if
I mean, I can speak on this.
Please.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I learned a lot through the years being online. I got a lot of constructive criticism. I mean, the thing is, like, you're not always asking for the advice. I had a conversation with someone out on the East Coast one time. He gave me some really great insight about that. Like, he was just saying, I know people will say, keep on scrolling, keep on moving. You know, if nobody asks for your thought process or your feedback or your advice on this. And this guy told me, this conversation I had with this guy, and he was telling me, you don't know till you know. And when he told me this, I was just thinking, man, that's really interesting, because, you know, when I started, I didn't know this whole industry that we're in. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was a cute little hobby. I thought maybe I could make a little bit of extra money. I did not know there was a whole industry. And I remember Amir, he's not so active anymore, but he used to always talk about leaving money on the table. He used to talk about comparing us to, you know, our rates being lower than what people charge for a cheese platter. Jason, I don't know if you know, and you can take that as an insult. You can take that offensively, or you can actually, you know, because I know I was always annoyed. Amir knows this too. I was always, you know, I didn't appreciate, you know, him commenting about how, you know, we're worth less than a cheese platter to some of us. And, you know, when I stopped just thinking that I knew everything and started listening to the message that he was actually sending out there is when I realized, like, you know, there is a whole industry out there, you know. And I think listening to sometimes, you know, it doesn't come off. I know with me, a lot of people don't think the things that I deliver is the nicest, but you're paying attention to the message. I mean, you can just pull the nuggets of knowledge that's being dropped, because people don't have to drop that information, you know, and you can take that information and apply it. Yeah. You can apply it to your own business. And for me, it catapulted my business from being, you know, I used to fight for $125 rentals. I it's embarrassing saying that, but you know, I listened to some of the criticism around me. I heard people tell me, raise your voices. I mean, I'm sorry, not raise your voice. I heard people tell me, raise your prices. I heard people criticizing how I gaff. And at the time, I just thought, what's the big deal? It's just gaff. It's just tape. It's doing what it has to do. And when you start hearing these messages that people are sharing with you, you realize, wow, you know, gaff is not a big thing, but it is a big thing. And you don't realize that when you first start, you know? So I think just taking things positively and just, you know, taking the information that is valuable to you and turning it around can really help you grow your business. It helped me, you know? So I know I get a lot of slack for like how I deliver things, but you know, the thing is that in our industry, there's a huge amount of people that are, you know, just entering the industry. There's people who have been here for a long time. And then there's people in between, you know, and your message isn't going to sound the same to someone who's new versus someone who's been here, you know, for a long time and understands exactly what the message is, because they understand what they don't know. They didn't know till they knew.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like you touched on it. It's that's where your growth is going to come from. You're never going to grow with attaboys and people telling you that what you're doing, it's going to challenge the way you're thinking, then it's going to make you expand or move on to things that are different and better. And it's opening your mind to those things. And like, there's several people that come to mind. Like, you're not one of them. I've never seen anyone really take your criticism.
I've been negatively,
but maybe. The first name that comes to my mind always with criticism is Zach, and everyone always asking for advice. He's always, and you mentioned free advice. His advice should never be free. He's got great advice, but he's always offering it and people always take it so poorly. And he is rough around the edges sometimes, but I will scan through posts and ignore like every comment until I see Zach's name, and I'll always read it because there's always some kind of wealth of information hidden inside there. Everything he posts is solid information, and that really is where this episode came from initially when I started writing it down, that all the negativity around Zach's feedback, because so many times I see him give such strong, great advice, but roughly, just not as soft as some people would like it. And just, he's just attacked, and people tell him to scroll on. And I'm just like, man, if you take a second to read what he just gave you, like that shouldn't have come to you for free, you know, that's where people are at. And I met someone, I don't want to say any names or get into the topic too much because I didn't mention to this person that I would be mentioning this story. But I spoke to someone at PBX, and they had mentioned, we were talking about the Facebook groups, and they had mentioned that most people won't see them on there because when they started their business about 18 months ago, they they wrote a post asking for some feedback and got a lot of very aggressive comments, and she felt like she was bullied, and she said, I had never posted anything again. I'm there, I'm reading things, but I am afraid to post. But I asked her, you know, from what she received, what she was asking about, did she change any of that? And she said, oh yeah, I changed everything. Everything I was doing was wrong. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
I mean, isn't that why you posted? Like, maybe it wasn't as nice as you wanted it to be, but you got the results and you grew from it. So why aren't you posting more? Like maybe you've got to just find a way to turn those negative feedbacks or positive feedbacks that you don't agree with into conversations, you know. Maybe just if you get something that's defensive, maybe ask the poster to elaborate or put the criticizer to task to defend their position. And and explore those options and really ask, like, why do you feel that's better than what I'm doing, and turning it into a conversation instead of back and forth of just scroll on and just,
or just shutting down.
I feel like
some people also shut down. I know that online we, you know, we sound different than who we are in person. Like, people think that you, you know, and it's all internal too, like how you're taking the comments. Like, you can say the exact same thing and one person's going to interpret it one way, another person's going to interpret it negatively, you know? But I think that there's, what are we at? Like 18,000, 20,000, 22,000 on photo booth community. It's a huge network of people. So you're going to have all, I always say this, like, you're always going to have different personalities, different communication styles. You know, not everybody's going to be communicating that, you know, in a way that's ideal to you, but that doesn't mean that the message is any different. And, you know, with Zach, I remember, you know, when I first started, I remember he probably doesn't even remember, but he used to leave me comments and I used to get so upset. And, you know, exactly what you're saying, you know, once you stop and stop taking it personally and you actually listen to the message, he's actually giving you very, very sound advice. And he's a smart guy, you know, he's not somebody who's just winging his way through what he's doing. Like, he's a researcher, he's, you know, he reads the manual. I work on Breeze, and I, sometimes the stuff that he knows more than me, I'm just, you know, how did you even know that, you know? So he's really, really smart guy. So when he does give advice, it's usually, you know, you really should be paying attention. And he's one of the ones that influenced me too. You know, it was not great experience when I first came into contact with him, and a few other people too, you know. Like, it's just the way they communicate, the way they deliver. And, you know, me and Zach, we're friends now. So it's 12 years later since I started. And, you know, he's a big reason why I was paying attention to my gaff tape, how my small things, like the angle that your umbrella is at, how it's lined up, how your back screen is. I mean, I pay attention to all that now because I'm aware everybody's paying attention. You know, our clients pay attention to those small things. And that's the difference between someone who's, you know, working in a backyard versus somebody who's being hired by, you know, huge corporate companies. And when you first start, you don't realize that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. And people don't realize often that clients don't often give honest feedback. So if you post a photo of your setup and your wires aren't taped down or whatnot, and someone criticizes and says, hey, that looks great, but those wires need to be taped down. And you're met with, well, the client didn't have a problem with it. In fact, they gave me a good review or whatnot. A lot of times if you ask someone, hey, how did you feel about everything? They're going to tell you it was great because they don't want to insult you to your face. Right. And it's just not sincere. And people are like, I don't know why they didn't leave me a review, because I talked to them on site and they said they loved everything about it. But again.
Yeah, but they're paying attention. They're paying attention. Yeah. They're just not bringing it up to you. That's exactly the thing about, like, our peers. Yeah, our peers. We're paying attention to these things and we're pointing it out, not to hurt your feelings. We're not telling you to, like, knock you down, tear you down. It's just, we want you to continue having the clients that you have, you know, or acquiring new clients that normally wouldn't have even looked your way with gaff like that. Cause that was me, you know, when I started, I was just thinking, as long as it prints photos, as long as the photos look great, that's all that matters. I'm embarrassed to say, but when I was first started, I didn't always, you know, you ask your clients for a table, you show up, they don't have a table, you don't have a table, what do? Jason, I was pulling out chairs and putting the printer on the chairs thinking, okay, it's functional. I would never do that now.
Complained about it. But yeah, they love don't the complain. Photo booth. They just see it and they just take note of it and they don't hire you again.
Yeah, well, even if they do hire you, you are putting yourself in a certain class of provider. Like, you know, there's different types of events for different photo booth providers. And if you're putting your printer onto a chair, you're not acquiring the kind of clients that are doing $1 million events, you know, $1 million weddings. You're just not going to be their provider because they pay attention to things like that. You know, I get a lot of questions of, like, how do you attract high end clientele? And people always talk about, like, value, and for high end clients, it's not value. It's, you know, it's, you having the same aesthetic that matches that high-end clientele. And the thing is that I didn't know when I first started what a high-end aesthetic was. I didn't even know what aesthetic was, you know?
But and other people in the group will know, and they'll guide you.
Yes.
If you're willing to be guided.
Yes. I feel that's a huge keyword. Like, if you're open to, you know, other people's knowledge and the things that they're sharing, no matter how they're sharing it, I think that it opens up your mind and makes you realize things that you didn't notice before. You know, one of the things about, like an example of this is, I mean, the Gap thing is one thing that is a huge thing for me because I didn't come from like the events industry. You know, I know like DJs pay attention to that stuff. I remember one of my first events, we were at a restaurant. For me, it was high end at the time. It's like mid range now, but the DJ came up to me and he was like, you know, hi, introducing himself. And he was like, I just want to tell you guys, the way you're gaffing, this is not right. And for DJs, I think it's a really huge deal. For me now, it's a huge deal too. Back then, I was like, what is up with this guy? Like, why is he like, you know, giving me heat about how it was just the fact that we didn't do like a straight gaff. We did like a gaff and then we did a 90 degree angle unnecessarily. And at the time, I was just whole upset. I was like, man, why is he criticizing? And now I'm thinking, why didn't anybody tell me this earlier? I could have saved myself so much. Yeah. You know, like I could have saved myself so much embarrassment through those years.
A quick side story that I guess doesn't have anything to do with criticism, except for, I guess, a boss giving constructive criticism to a staff member. I worked with somebody that obviously had been trained because they was one of our staff members. They'd been trained through us. So surely they were told at some point how to gaff correctly, or at least I would assume or hope so. but we were doing a 360 and it was powered. Or not power, but being plugged in, it wasn't battery operated. So she basically just like threw the cord out, plugged it in, and the cord was like snaking over to the 360, and she literally just started taping it down, like taping it in S for like not even making any attempt to straighten it out at all. And that's just like besides it looking atrocious.
Gnarly.
Like you'll use less tape. It'll be easier for you to tape down. Like I just don't understand that. Like everyone seems to have a really huge issue with gaff tape, and it can be so much easier. It can be so much easier.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come across like we're naive that like I'm on TikTok. I see the criticism, if you want to call it that, of people just spewing hatred that involves zero critical thinking or advice. Like I realize that it's out there, that there's people that are just hateful and hurtful, and obviously that's not what we're talking about. Hopefully that's not in our communities. Sometimes it is, and our admins, you know, try to get rid of those people pretty quickly, but obviously we're speaking more directly about negative criticism that can be taken as constructive. I just don't want to see the comments come back of like people insulting people and being like, how can I spin this to a positive? Because if someone's just, you know, calling you names, it's out there.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm human. I have my moments too, you know, where people are attacking me, and after a while I know online, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to be constructive. So I've had those moments too. You know, we're all human. And, you know, the thing is that I've had those moments, and then I've had the conversation with the person who I offended, and it always, you know, it's easy to have those misunderstandings or even just those moments where you're just frustrated with, you know, what's being thrown out there, you know, and I think we're all adults, and, you know, I've had those uncomfortable conversations with people, and, you know, we're cool after that, you know? So it does happen. I know I'm guilty of it. You know, I'm guilty of like some not so nice comments sometimes, but
I'm not, I'm a nice guy all the time.
I wish I could say that.
I'm not.
I know it gets frustrating. I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, it's, I forget sometimes that some people haven't done this as long as us, you know? I mean, what, 13 years. So, you know, basic concepts like a USB mount, a USB hub, a mouse, you know, those seem like things that you should know what it is that you're working with. So I know sometimes I get super frustrated. And then, you know, the whole thing with, you know, I really do want to help people. When I respond, I really do try to help people who are trying to help themselves. But not everybody's trying to help themselves. You know, that's the truth. Some people are just there wanting the quickest answer and no effort involved. And, you know, I'm not the friendliest to them.
Sure. And I would say one of the biggest criticisms that we see is someone asking those basic questions and right away people telling them, you know, there's a search feature, use that. And that's always the ones that you see, like, if you don't have anything to include, just scroll on. But really, that is the most constructive criticism anyone could use, because I imagine you were the same when I first got into this. Like, I lived on that search bar, and there is so much information out there that's available to you right now. You don't have to ask. And you'll see other, when you're reading through those, you'll see people comment on things that you didn't know or things that you needed to be concerned about or wonder about. And they'll send you down a whole new line of searching and whatnot. So find that search bar and definitely use that search bar, because the question that you're asking has been asked many times over the past several years. And a lot of the great advice that was given in those past responses, people aren't giving it again because they don't want to type it out again, or they're not in the industry anymore. Like, there's so much information out there that can be achieved using the search bar.
You know what, Jason? The experience that I've had also is when you use the search bar, you actually get answers faster. It's so much more productive. I've been on site. I remember I did a video activation and I was having issues with the software connecting to the camera that I was using. Back then it was the M50. It was new at the time, you know, so there was still some quirks to it. And I couldn't get it to connect to the software to record video. And for me to post a help post would have taken a lot longer. I literally did a search through the network and I found my answer within like 2 minutes and we're up and running. You know, I think the search bar is not utilized to its full benefit it has. Like, I pull up sometimes, I mean, because I still use the search bar today, and the answers that I find, I'm just like, oh my gosh, my mind is still blown away by the answers that I see. And these posts are like 7 years old and they're still useful to me today, you know. And we do pretty advanced stuff with the software that we use, and still there's surprising answers and solutions to things that I don't even know if people are aware of unless you have the situation where you have to use the search bar, you know.
Yeah, like, exactly. There's some of those situations where there's only maybe three or four people in the entire industry that really could answer that, and they're not on Facebook right now, or maybe they're not in the industry anymore, but they've already answered that question in the past. And you're right. If you type it in, you've got all those answers at your fingertips immediately.
Yeah.
Instead of, even if they are on Facebook and still in the industry, you've got to wait for them to get online, to read through their page, see that, and then decide to answer you. So it's just all around a much faster and more efficient way to find answers to things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I don't know.
I think that probably wraps up criticism. I think we kind of cover just about as much as we can. I did want to close with a quote, since I opened with a quote. So I didn't have one at the ready, so I searched out and found one that I liked by Frank A. Clark, who says, "Criticism is like rain and should be gentle enough to nourish a person's growth without destroying their roots." So
that's a great quote.
Yeah, so when you are criticizing somebody, don't just be a jerk. add value. But that's all I've got.
Help to keep this free information coming. Subscribe to Pro Booth Talk in iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And while you're there, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Finally, watch for show updates at facebook.com/ProBoothTalk.